To all of you who would see Jesus, behold our Christ, lifted high on a cross. Our Christ is there for all the world to see, that seeing they may be drawn as if by a magnet, and being drawn, they may see both light and life.
Hello again, friends. Welcome to our Holy Tuesday worship service. Let us begin by saying our prayer of confession.
Merciful God, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. In the silence of our hearts, we name these sins to you. These are sins of omission and commission. We confess to you, O God. Hear us and have mercy. Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and as one with you in the church, I declare to you this: your sin is forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our scripture reading today is taken from Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 35. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him: "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Those of you who were with us for worship yesterday on Holy Monday may have noticed that our Bible reading for today picks up where we left off yesterday. We are in the Gospel writer Luke's telling of the crucifixion story, and he at this point narrows the focus of the account down to the three individuals on the crosses: Jesus and the criminals on either side of him. One of those criminals joins the crowd in ridiculing Jesus, but perhaps a tone of desperation might be in his voice as he says, "You're supposed to be the Messiah. Save yourself and us." But surprisingly, the criminal on the other side isn't having any of that, and he tells him to knock it off, asking, "Don't you fear God? You and I deserve what we're getting, but him? He's done nothing to justify this." And then he talks directly to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There's a lot going on in this exchange, a confession being the center of things. Confession of sin: we deserve this. And confession of belief: when you come into your kingdom. You got to be a king to have a kingdom. And I wonder what the criminal knew. What did he believe? As a preacher, I'd love to go there today, but time demands that I save that for another day. Now, what I found myself coming back to today was simply, remember me. Remember me. I have a hunch that this stuck with me in part because of the current health crisis, with so much of our lives, and certainly in my life, being disrupted. Well, I'm having trouble remembering things. Routines are gone, and I'm trying to figure out from scratch how to do the work I do. Heck, I'm trying to figure out just what is that work at present. But I find that I'm a bit scattered, and remembering things isn't without its challenges. But even before arriving in our current situation, I've long had some sympathy for the criminal's request to Jesus, "Remember me." It always seemed to me that the criminals were in some ways stand-ins for us. desperate, convicted, with Jesus right next to them, to us. I've reached an age where I've long abandoned the idea that I'm going to live forever. I know that I've got far more life behind me than in front of me, and one day in the not-so-distant future, I will be a line in a funeral registry, a name on our family genealogy that I hope will have by then passed on to our children. And as I look at the names on that genealogy, well, the recent ones I can still picture, but I don't have to go too far back before they simply become names. Names that I honor, names that I know I'm connected to, but mostly they're simply names. And I wonder, will someone remember me? Jesus says to the criminal, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So yeah, he's going to be remembered. In the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read of how a people in exile had begun to despair. They were wondering if God had forgotten them. And through the prophet, God responds by saying, essentially, "Come on, listen up. Can a woman forget her nursing child, walk away from her baby? But even if that were possible, I'm not forgetting you. You got it? It's like I've got you inscribed on the palms of my hands, on the flats of my hands." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Even as he was dying, he was promising that he would remember. Remember the criminal. And yes, remember you and me. So it's actually okay. God's got us right where we need to be. God's got it all in hand. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. O Holy One, we come to you with the words of Psalm 106 in our minds and on our hearts as we proclaim your praise. We give you thanks because you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. Indeed, who can utter your mighty doings or declare all your praise? Happy are we when we observe justice and when we do what is right. So remember us, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. And so, God, we thank you that you do and you will remember us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, may the blessing of God give us all strength for our journey. May the Spirit of wisdom give us vision for the road ahead. And may the love of Christ make us caring companions as we continue to go forth together in this, the holiest of weeks. Amen.